when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
This is Paul Daner Jr. and Mo Egger in studio talking all things Bengals and general NFL topics on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
All right, here we go. Good afternoon. I'm Mo Egger. This is ESPN 1530. Thank you for listening. Hope you're having a very, very good Tuesday. We have a short show today, out of the way early at 5:30. Louisville and Notre Dame tipping off at 7, the pregame at 5:30. Supposed to be a UK game, but obviously their tilt against Texas A&M has been postponed. So Cardinals basketball instead. We'll do some college basketball coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We will also keep you up to date on the situation involving the single car crash involving Tiger Woods that has, if you haven't seen the images, they're all over the place on social media. They are scary. That looks gnarly. Basically, it looks like the front of his car essentially fell out of the rest of the car. And I'm not at all trying to be flippant. His agent has acknowledged that he was in a single car accident this morning in California, suffering multiple leg injuries, currently in surgery. And that's the extent of what we know about what happened this morning. But when things come across, we'll pass it along to you. This afternoon on Tuesdays, our buddy Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic joins us. You could read his work. You could hear his work. A new podcast with Jay Morrison dropped today. Hear that podcast growling. I have gotten halfway through it. You can catch that. And you could read Paul's work in The Athletic. Subscribe by going to theathletic.com. It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here. You know, I know we missed because of the snow last week, and it just didn't feel the same. I felt empty inside.
I don't know if I felt emptier inside you not being here or when I tried your little spreadsheet exercise. So if you haven't done this, this came out last week, if memory serves me right, because I did it over the weekend.
Yeah.
So Paul and Jay have a little you be the GM activity for you. I'm not a big homework guy.
Yeah.
I like doing homework. I like doing math.
No one made you do it. It wasn't assigned.
Kind of. I mean, I was going to have you in here to talk about it. So it is essentially a little Google Doc spreadsheet that has a bunch of drop-down menus, and you can cut players, you can add players, you can give contract extensions, you can find bargain replacements. It's basically assemble the Bengals roster on a spreadsheet. It was a maddening, excruciating experience for me.
It was not meant to be rooted in hopes and dreams. There's one. Here's the thing, Mo.
I mean, you can see on my. I gave up.
Yes.
Here's all the dudes I cut. I got a lot of empty holes.
I understand.
I have like no corners on the team next year.
I understand.
Man, if I'd be a bad GM.
You'd be a bad GM. Well, here's the thing. It's one of these where I think it's an important thing. The only thing we never give people this time of year is perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of pros and cons and sacrifices that you make to do one thing for the other. And we always, sign that guy.
Right.
And sign that guy. And you got it. You can do all those things. And this was not meant to be exact. You can't be exact on how much every player's market value will be. And every team can get creative to find angles to work, you know, the system, so to speak. And that's part of it, too. But at its core, this is what it is. At its core, this is the situation the Bengals are in. As you can say, fix the offensive line, but are you willing to do it at the sacrifice of having, what was it, no corners? Is that what you ended up?
Yeah, I literally, yeah. I've got Trey Waynes and four cornerback slots.
You got to have Darius Phillips.
So part of this here is like, I just got so frustrated I stopped selecting from the drop-down menus.
Oh, yeah,
so
right, like, in votes?
Yeah. So, but yes, I have Trey Waynes, Darius Phillips, and basically no corners.
Yeah. But I mean, I just, it's an interesting thing. And then because the other part of it becomes, okay, let's talk about, you got to pay Jesse Bates.
Yeah.
You got to do it, right? And we can get into the logistics of what that would actually mean for this year's cap and next year's cap and what a Bates extension could be structured like. The bottom line is it would add money to this year, and that is part of the equation, that when you do that, and this is something the Bengals have talked about for years, is that when you do that, you are investing in your own players rather than others in free agency. And as long as you spend the money, you know, it's a matter of where you're choosing for it to come from. And that also is part of this equation. Is you're saying, you know what, there's a lot of people now who's like, I know I said that Bates is great and extending him, but you know what, I really need that space. You know, it's all the part that nobody talks about when we do stuff this time of year. And I thought it was important to have people maybe get a little bit better sense of perspective.
When folks, and you and Jay do cover some of this on your podcast, and so I don't want to cover all the ground that you did, but when folks did this, were there one or two kind of recurring themes? Like, did everybody cut the same player? Did everybody sign the same player?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's the most obvious. I mean, the cuts, almost everybody cut Geno Atkins, Bobby Hart, and then B.J. Finney, which is basically $3 million in free money.
Right.
And then you saw about a little less than half were cutting, like, C.J. Uzomah and Giovanni Bernard. Those were the tougher decisions where there's a little bit more of a give and take.
I cut both.
Yeah. Ruthless. I think there's – when you play it from a spreadsheet side, you're taking all emotion and thought out of it. It's just give me the money.
Which is what I'm not good at.
Right. But in – you know, and it's funny. I mean, different teams operate more so that way, and different teams operate more so as human being way. And I think that's also an interesting element of this is what your style, what anybody's style should be, or what you would want out of your team as a part of this too. Those were probably, as far as cuts go, the biggest moves. And then I think everything else, you know, was all over the map. A lot of people, I mean, obviously want Carl Lawson back. I think that was a big part of most people's equations and trying to do long-term deals. And so, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of different results back, and I appreciate how many people went through the experience, put themselves through it like you did.
Yeah, I put myself through it. It was agonizing. I mean, I'm not – like, I got to the point I'm down in my basement kind of doing this, and I sort of just – I yelled out an expletive, and I come upstairs, and my wife is like, what are you doing down there? I'm like, trying to pretend I'm Duke Tobin. Okay? It does illustrate how difficult the exercise of putting together a better roster, taking care of some of the players you would like to keep, and making the necessary acquisitions in free agency is going to be.
I think there's a few things of, you know, what makes this year interesting for me, from a Bengals perspective, and I think honestly more interesting than last year, is the creativity that they're going to need to utilize in order to get everything done that they want to get done. Last year was more of, they have a lot of holes, they were willing to go spend money, they're going to go spend the money, maybe they'll have to overpay, build around Burrow, yada, yada, yada. This year, I think it's much more nuanced. There's many more ways that they can accomplish what they want to accomplish, but like this illustrates, I think, they're going to have to be pretty creative in getting it done. I think when you look at two aspects of this, and that is opening yourself up to the idea of trading back in the first round a little bit to add picks and to be able to maybe add a few more pieces that way is an element of it. Finding maybe a creative way to fix the offensive line. It's not going to be as simple as go pay a couple of guys. That's not going to be how it goes down. Are you willing? You know, I had a story today sort of projecting the roster where talking about the idea of a trade and trading for somebody like Rob Havenstein and looking at something like that to get yourself at a reasonable number with a quality player and being willing to part with a draft pick there if you have to. But really, I think it's taking advantage of the second, third wave that's going to get squeezed by this cap. Mm-hmm. I mean, this cap is going to – the top guys are going to be fine. The rookie salary cap guys, they're going to be fine. I mean, your picks are all going to still be there. It's the money that is allocated to those veteran middle guys is going to start to disappear and go away. And getting those guys at a very reasonable price – can allow you to check 3, 4, 5 boxes off, players you know, names you know, guys that can legitimately be expected to produce for you at not a ton of money. And that might be where the market finds itself for the Bengals this year, and I think that could be maybe one of the more interesting areas to watch.
I hated to do this, and I'm not just talking about the exercise, but the entire time I did this, I kept staring at the name Joe Mixon.
We talked about it. How much did we talk about this last year?
A ton. Yeah. And look, I'm not going to pretend that I was completely opposed to the Bengals signing. Joe Mixon made the argument, look, at some point, if you're going to be the guy who wants to change the culture, you think that Joe Mixon fits, you know, what you're looking for. He helps set the tone in your locker room. He's the kind of player you want to coach. You have to give a coach a chance to coach those guys. I'm not going to pretend that I was opposed to it, but when I do it from this standpoint, understanding the overall value of backs in this league, I kept coming back to that, wishing I could lop off that money.
It was the same line that I used all last year during this. That's fine, as long as it doesn't cost you a right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that it doesn't. Or in this case, cost you, what is it again, cornerbacks that you need? Yeah,
I don't have any cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's you just don't. The reason why you hesitate with paying running backs is because you're paying a running back instead of a better corner or a right tackle or whatever it is, and that is part of the decision that they made, and that they're going to live with, and they'll say, hey, this offense can be built around Joe Mixon the next couple of years, and maybe that's the case, but you know, we certainly know what
it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. I mean, for a running back,
it's a lot of money. Again, I think you probably could have come to the conclusion that the salary cap was going to come down a little bit at the time that they signed him to the deal, because we were in a pandemic. We didn't know how many tickets teams were going to sell. But just, again, doing this exercise where I'm trying to move money around and being a bean counter, and I want to plug in as many quality players and as many holes as possible, and I want to bring back Carl Lawson and all that stuff. As I'm doing this, I kept going, God, it'd be really nice to have that 12 mil that Joe Mixon's going to occupy.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he isn't going to be a valuable, productive member of this team. It doesn't mean he's not going to have a really nice bounce back year behind a better offensive line. I know he's geeked about Frank Pollock. Maybe the offense does a better job of just making him more productive. All that stuff can happen. But in terms of deployment of resources, I kept saying to myself, there's a better allocation of resources than Joe Mixon.
Yeah. I mean, how different does it look if you have Carl Lawson and William Jackson with a second or third round pick running back, as opposed to having Carl Lawson and Joe Mixon? And, you know, that's a big difference there. Again, there's different ways you can do it. And it goes back a lot of the same arguments that we made then about, okay, if this is a guy you want, if this is a guy that is a part of believer in your program and your culture and all that, like that all certainly makes sense. But that was, you were buying into that at the expense of having the ability to be a little more flexible this year and next year.
His money is basically 1/15 of the cap for a running back.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on how you look at it or divide.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
all that stuff.
I mean, you know, you're the teams that do that. That's part of it. And how many of those guys actually succeed? How many of them live up to it? How many of them stay with that team for the duration of that contract? Not a ton.
How many teams, and I don't want to just talk about Joe Mixon's deal, but how many teams, if I look at Joe, just from the round number of 12, Geo 4, and then the other guys, how many teams have 10% of their salary cap tied up into that position?
Yeah, I mean, you would just have to go and look at those top five running.
This baseball season, catch every game at Longneck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky: Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings. And there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Longnecks. Longnecks Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Longnecks Patio. Longnecks Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Back contracts. I mean, San Francisco, I think it had multiple free agent contracts. Mm-hmm. When Kyle Shanahan came in, they believed in the depth there and were willing to spend it, you know, multiple guys in the mid-range rather than, you know, having the idea of one. Where, of course, for the most part, you just end up in the same group of people. It's, you know, Zeke Elliott and Dalvin Cook now and Camaro, and I mean, there's these same, it's the guys that pay one guy, and I was admittedly surprised at how many of those guys got deals, knowing what we all know, you know, and we saw, what did we see? We saw Green Bay use the method. I think that you look at the opposite of what the Bengals opted to do and these other teams opted to do. You know, yeah. Aaron Jones was just the same for them. They could have done it. They chose not to. That we'll see how it affects them, but he's going to hit the open market, and they've got, you know, got Jamal Williams and another guy, and they'll probably draft a guy. They did draft a guy last year in Dylan. I mean, so they just kind of cycle them through, and that's the other way that you can go, and that you would – there's a lot of people that would argue, myself included, that that's, you know, the more efficient way to go to get the most value out of your team. But, you know, you all say that, and then if Joe Mixon runs for 1,500 yards, everyone's loving it.
Right. So. And look, part of the exercise for me involved the knowledge that he was not – as productive as we would have hoped before he got hurt, and then he was hurt for more than half of the season. And I'm viewing this differently, and I'm sure a lot of us are, if that wasn't the case. Paul Daner Jr. is on Twitter, at Paul Daner Jr. By the way, mentioned at the top of the show, the scary single car accident involving Tiger Woods. Michael Eaves, who is a SportsCenter anchor, who is tied to the L.A. area, tweeted this a few minutes ago, that the injuries are not considered life-threatening. He is currently undergoing surgery on leg injuries. Local police source said the initial report from the scene of the accident indicated the possibility of multiple leg fractures. But the good news is, if you believe this reporting, and I don't think there's any reason not to, is that the injuries are at least not considered life-threatening. We'll update you all afternoon, 19 minutes after 3 o'clock. Paul's here till 4. I'm here till 5:30. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. 22 minutes after 3, this is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger on Twitter, at Mo Egger 1530. Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic is here, as he is every Tuesday, to talk Bengals and the NFL. Today is the first day that NFL teams can issue the franchise tag. Obviously, the Bengals did that last year with A.J. Green. There has been speculation, or at least discussion, about the possibility of the Bengals doing the same with Carl Lawson and or William Jackson III. Your roster projection, you had them tagging Carl Lawson.
Yeah.
You had them doing that. Now, a franchise tag doesn't mean that it has to play out the way it did with A.J. You still have a window in which you can get a long-term deal done. What does your gut tell you about the deployment or lack thereof of the franchise tag this offseason?
I, you know, my gut tells me that they do end up doing it on Carl Lawson, and that's, you know, and aiming for that, we'll watch that July window again to get a long-term deal done. And see where, but once both sides maybe have calmed down, you know, that's what tends to happen this year. Oh, you're going to use the franchise tag on me?
Yeah.
You know, this is that kind of standoff. And then they do. And
cryptic
and,
tweets.
Yeah. You know, that will come, you know, eyeballs. And then so you'll end up with all that stuff. But then you'll come to in July and say, okay, I have two options in front of me, really. I can play out this year and bet on myself again and hope to stay healthy and have another great year. Pocket that 16 mil, not bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Right? Or maybe I do just sign up here for the long term. And that's why a lot of deals do get done in July, is guys calm down and realize the two in front of them, one of them has double the amount of guaranteed money, and you stay where you're at. And the other one, you know, says, well, you got to take the chance of going and maybe getting hurt again. And that can be a scary possibility when you're, you know, 25, 26 years old, and this is your contract. This is the one for your life. And so, to me, that we'll see what happens maybe in July, but that's, to me, maybe where this thing ends up. From a Bengals perspective, I did not think they would go this route.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the way it ends up, that's just a lot of money, you know, to put towards Carl Lawson. And I understand their need for a pass rush, and all of that is prevalent, but that's a lot of money for Carl Lawson. And so, but hey, if that's the way it works out, then good for him. But yeah, it's a tough decision when you're balancing all these different things. I think ideally they'd like to get a long-term deal done, but those things can be hard to do this time of year.
So that would then push William Jackson out the door.
And I think so.
Your roster projection doesn't have William Jackson. This is something you've been on for a while, that he wouldn't come back. And then, as you projected, kind of using the franchise tag on Lawson, he's back in 2021. You had the cornerback room, and I looked at that group of guys the same way I looked at my spreadsheet when I did your little spreadsheet exercise, and I made a face that I can't even describe here for the audience. But at the same time, if you would have said, all right, well, they're going to do it with William Jackson and then Carl Lawson's not going to come back, I would have made the same face about the defensive line because I did watch them not be able to get to quarterbacks last year. Everybody pretty much except Carl Lawson. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
At a certain point, you know, and this goes into the part that we talked about earlier with the finding value, finding the diamonds in that third wave rough a little bit. Guys that can come and play. Now you are at some point. Trey Waynes has to be counted on.
Yes,
the guy's making $14 million. Mm-hmm. He's being paid to basically be a number one corner, so he's gonna have to be that guy for you. Darius Phillips has played well. You worry about his injury history. I don't necessarily have a problem with Darius Phillips as a number two corner on this team. And if you can, but if you can plot it with some guys with potential that can play for you. You know, and feel comfortable with that aren't LaShawn Sims off the bench, you know, that behind him, the room I think can round itself off. You're right. You do end up taking a chance on some, call them damaged goods, you know, whatever that is, guys that are, you're surprised to still be sitting there. But, you know, I go back to on the defensive line side of it, and you can run this parallel to the cornerback room. Is, you know, the Bengals got Mike Daniels in July last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and guys like that can be, you're surprised that they're around, they're name guys. Maybe they're just looking for a 1 year stopgap. You can find that. And then theoretically, this year more so than others. So I look at things like that, players maybe like that, that could be the ones to help supplement whatever part of the defense room that, you know, that doesn't quite pan out like you'd hope to in free agents.
Around the NFL, because there are some free agents to be that Bengals fans, we've all talked about them possibly getting. Are there possible franchise tag situations that could impact the Bengals that you think are more likely to happen than not?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Carolina with Taylor Moten seems almost inevitable at this point, so you can cross that one off the board. I saw something today, and I had not investigated much into the concept of New England
doing
tagging again, Joe, because that's a big number.
That's huge, yeah.
I mean, you already were sort of surprised they did it last year.
Right.
Much less taking the 120% of that number. I don't know. I don't know enough about that situation to know whether that would happen. I was surprised to even see that brought up. So, you know, that would be surprising to me because I think that's the one, you know, that in so many ways makes the most sense.
You're
here.
Right. Most talked about free agent acquisition so far.
Yeah.
Easily.
You know, you can put both sides together really, really easily. Everybody would seem to come away fairly happy from that, except for the people inside the building that don't believe in paying guards. You know, but outside of that, you would, you know, it would seem to make sense. So yeah, those kind of stand out for me right now.
So Taylor Moten likely gets tagged. Joe Tooney, if he gets tagged, for people who have been sort of focusing on that single-minded focus on Joe Tooney, then what would be plan B?
Yeah, I mean,
in free agency at that position.
In free agency, I mean, theoretically, you know, Sheriff's out there, mm-hmm. Brandon Sheriff from Washington. Now they may tag him again. They may sign him to a long-term deal. He may stay. Yeah. We don't know. But I mean, if you're looking at the high end, if you're looking to make that impact guy who would be up in that same stratosphere, he would be probably the only other real name up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the argument of, hey, why don't you just go try to sign Trent Williams is out there.
Yeah, it's on my spreadsheet. Hang on.
Did you find a way to work that
20, No, 20 million. I did that. Right tackle, Trent. Yeah.
Is that a write-in vote, or did it actually go to the
bargain
form?
Bargain replacement at right guard. Here's my offensive line. Jonah Williams, Joe Tooney, Trey Hopkins, bargain replacement at right guard, Trent Williams. And then I have, like, on game day, I might only dress like 36 guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's how do you, man, fit
some
in
creative
Tooney
accounting.
And Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it, though. Uh-huh. But you know what? You're solving problem one.
Uh-huh. That's right. We are going to have a great offensive line.
Yeah, no, I enjoy that. That was one of the first responses to the
players will also have to play defensive line, just so you know.
I enjoy it. That was one of the first responses we got to the sheet was someone saying, okay, something's broken on your spreadsheet. I fixed the offense and there's no more money left. Yeah, that's a problem. It's tough. You know, I think there's, you know, at guard, I think there's lots of different ways that you can go. I think there's a decent amount of guys that you'll find in that middle range that will surface probably over the next coming weeks as we all wait to see where the cap ends up.
And you know then what teams you do with those guys? Plug and play.
Plug and play. You're right.
So there'll be some guards out
plug
there.
And play guards.
Plug and play guards.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's sort of an unofficial franchise motto.
Yeah, no doubt.
Plug and play guards.
Plug and play guards. Except, you know, you plug them in, they don't always quite play. The thing. Yeah. It's not plug and play well, guards.
Correct. It's plug and play. It's put a person in a uniform there.
Yeah, pulse in a hole.
And stick him in front of a fat person and see if they can. It's 29 minutes away from 4 o'clock. He's Paul Daner Jr., covers the Bengals for The Athletic. I want to get to one possible draft scenario that you have tapped into that I think is fascinating. And a few other odds and ends around the NFL as well, including one that is Bengals-related but has nothing to do with the team on the field. And no, it's not the Ring of Honor. A lot to get to between now and 4 on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. Sports updates are service of Kelsey Chevrolet, home of lifetime powertrain protection and guaranteed credit approval from their family to yours for life. Go to KelseyChev.com. Tiger Woods hospitalized following an awful-looking single-car accident in L.A. County in which he reportedly had to be removed from the car using the jaws of life. His agent confirms the accident, says he is having surgery. ESPN is reporting the injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. The University of Cincinnati announced today that they can have more fans at Fifth Third Arena, around 1,135. The Bearcats have a home game on Friday against Tulane. It's a 4 o'clock tip, and then another one on Sunday afternoon, the season finale. The regular season home finale, I should say, will be against SMU on March 4th. You can look into that at catsticks.com. NKU's Trayvon Faulkner, All Horizon League second team, and no surprise here, Marquez Work, freshman of the year, also on the All Horizon League third team. The Horizon League basketball tournament actually begins tonight. NKU doesn't play until Tuesday, but the four non-top four seeds play. The Norse will play the highest remaining seed after tonight's games on Tuesday. Also tonight, Miami's at Central Michigan at 5, and Louisville hooks up with Notre Dame. Cardinals have lost 4 out of 6. Currently on the right side of the bubble, according to most bracketologists, but still could use a win. That game tips.
This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky: Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings. And there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's off at 7 p.m. on ESPN 1530. Also tonight, the Columbus Blue Jackets hosting Chicago. Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic is here. You and Jay Morrison tapped into the possibility of the Bengals trading down, the Hear That Podcast, Growlin' Podcast, which I encourage you to listen to as soon as this show's over, of course. How far down do you think they would legitimately be willing to go?
9, 10. I don't think you want to get out of the top 10.
Right.
I think there's enough players that would fit you and that would be the best at their position there, especially, you know, if teams are coming up, the quarterbacks are going, you know, you can end up with the third or fourth best position player still, even if you end up down at 9 where the Broncos are, which I think is kind of the back end of that. I don't see them going much further than that, especially, you know, I don't see, you know, Garoppolo is going to stay. So I don't see San Francisco being a player there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Indy's way back and they were going to be, but now they've got Carson Wentz. So you never know what will emerge and where those offers will come from, but I don't see them being very comfortable moving much further than that. But
you know, it all depends on if somebody were to show up out of nowhere. I mean, it's in play when you've got a lot of holes to fill, and if you could add more picks.
I love this offseason in the NFL with quarterbacks changing teams, quarterbacks being traded for each other, quarterbacks begging for trades from dysfunctional franchises, a bunch of teams who need QBs. I love this for two reasons. Number one, it heightens my interest during a time when there's usually nothing going on. There's kind of an NBA feel to it. Also, the team that I root for has its quarterback. So it's kind of nice to watch everybody do desperate things and talk themselves into guys who maybe petered out elsewhere or overpay for a guy who's good but not great. But on a macro level, this is fun. I like this era of player mobilization, and I like it when it's happening at the most important position in sports.
I like it, and fans like it, and ratings like it. And so you know who else will like it? The NFL will like it. And so they're going to continue to do whatever they can to let these types of off seasons be the types of off seasons we see. They're not going to stop anything that's kept the train going in this direction anytime soon. That includes quarterbacks getting massive amounts of money compared to the rest of the players in the league and all the other things. And so I think when you look at it, it's fun. I've been covering the league for a decade now, and like there was a time not long ago where this was like you couldn't even come up with anything to talk about in February. Mm-hmm. February was a time where everyone took weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was just understood. That was the way the cycle worked. It was like the one break that it just doesn't exist now. It's busier than the season. February is the time where you know there's more material out there than almost any. There's so much stuff happening behind the scenes that is talked about regularly. It's great for the league. It's great for us. I mean, I really wish I could get a vacation when the season ended. But I appreciate the fact that there's this much interest. I mean, they found a way that they will always find a way to keep your eyes on them 24 hours a day, 365 a year.
But the thing is, like the combine's not happening this year. Mm-hmm. I have no use for that. It just doesn't matter to me. I get its purpose. I'm not saying it's not important. For me, I can't. It's a non-event for me. But Jared Goff getting traded for Matt Stafford, that's an event. That's interesting. Deshaun Watson trying to force a trade, and the Texans and the former chaplain who runs the team so far, you know, holding on tight to him, and the possibilities and the number of teams that could push each other out of the way, and Jay Morrison never having seen Independence Day, which is a reference to the podcast that they talked about this, which is just staggering to me. But
staggering.
I mean, those are events. Carson Wentz, I mean, what's happened with the Philadelphia Eagles in a very, very short amount of time for a franchise that not only won a Super Bowl but made the playoffs, that the following 2 years seemed to be set up for long-term success, and now, like, nobody's there. Moving on from Carson Wentz, the Colts situation. Like, those are events. And I've often at times, as a fan, just kind of rolled my eyes at some of the news that's non-news. It's like whenever OTAs are beginning, okay, you want me to pretend to care? I can try, but I really can't. Those are non-events to me. But the quarterbacks changing teams, the fluidity, all that's fascinating. How the LA Rams can sustain this model is really, really interesting. Deshaun Watson's destination and who's going to pay what for him is interesting. The Steelers situation with Ben Roethlisberger and whether or not he plays another down in the league if they move on from him is fascinating. There's a lot there that this time of season has created conversations that I think are fun to have.
I think part of it, you've now ended up with a league that in many ways has been inspired by other leagues and has embraced the fantasy football culture a little bit. If you know, the way of running teams, of being more active, the GMs that have had success that are in the middle of every deal, you know, and now you have a league full of them now. I mean, more turnover than ever this year. And they're all young, mostly young GMs that all are of that type. In the middle of every deal, wanting to make trades, wanting to use every angle, understanding that that's where the advantage is right now. You have to be doing that. And so you end up with so much more action. Mm-hmm. And so many, you know, when you have teams that are turning things around so quickly with a few quick moves, you're having, you know, what the Dolphins have done
don't think that that has not opened the eyes of people who see how quickly you can hit the button and move it forward. Or what's happened with a lot of teams where they hire a guy one, two, three years, boom, you're in the game. You know, San Francisco with Lynch and Shanahan and the movement that's involved in that, it has created – it's all of this has created the league that feeds off of it and is much more active all the time. And it wasn't like that before.
No, I mean,
it was a league that just kind of, for the most part, GMs kind of went about their business and done things the way they'd always been done of it. And the same way that there's we all make fun of all the young coaches and this, that, and the other. I mean, the young GMs and the young coaches, though, they are really part of a new wave of thinking about how to approach everything in the way that the NFL does business this time of year. And I still contend that fans are far more interested in what happens this time of year than almost anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I find there's fans in the back in the day, I think, used to envision themselves as players, right? You came up as kids.
Yeah, I was just about to say this. Yes,
in the backyard, you were a player. I'm whoever.
You grew up wanting to be a
quarterback. Boomer Esiason, right?
Yes.
And you make now you sit in front of your computer and you play franchise mode.
Yeah.
And you're GMs. These kids come up wanting to be GMs and play the game that way and view it that way and view players as commodities and not as human beings that you want to be, that you idolize. And I think it's fascinating the way it's flipped, and that's part of what's created this culture of this time of year of just obsession over this type of stuff that just didn't even exist probably even 5 years ago.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, look, as an NBA fan, it reminds me of the NBA, but not – like, I think there's – for a lot of NBA fans, the transactional aspect of that league is actually a bigger deal than the actual games.
You know
what I mean? Like, I think in June and July, in a normal year where you have a lot of guys changing teams, and we had a stretch in 2017 and 18 where, like, the whole league was turned on its head, where you had people who were obsessing over these moves who probably never watched a regular season game involving most of the players in those moves. And as a basketball fan, that can be kind of annoying to me, right? Like, I love the transactional aspect of it, but the real fascinating thing is, how's it going to play out on the court? The NFL has figured out a way to mesh both because the on-field product is still so compelling, and that's where you get the ultimate payoff to all these sort of off-season storylines, that the transactions are huge, and the way we talk about them has dominated the news cycle, and yet none of it's going to overshadow. It just sort of – It sort of feeds the storylines to the season we're going to have. And I'm not sure it necessarily works out that way to the same extent in the NBA. I think in the NBA, there's almost too much concern over who's changing what teams that the on-court product is not as important to a lot of fans. I don't feel that that's the case in the NFL.
And that setup that you just mentioned is how you stare Disney in the face and say, you know what, 100% more. You know, the ratings, the offseason, the intrigue, everything about it is what makes them so powerful. And it's what makes them such a draw to advertisers and to these. Everybody wants a piece of the NFL in whatever way they can get it. And, you know, it's all because they've figured it out. You know, they seem to continue to be putting it together more so than ever.
14 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Mo Egger, Paul Daner Jr. Paul covers the Bengals for The Athletic. He's with me here every single Tuesday. All right, a couple of other quick NFL hits, including one that's Bengals related. Next on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
We continue with Paul Daner Jr. and Mo Egger in studio talking all things Bengals and general NFL topics on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
9 from 4, this is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. If you're a UC basketball fan, we'll talk about those who want a coaching change after 2 years of John Brandon coming up here in about 15 minutes. Paul Daner Jr. here for one more segment, covers the Bengals along with Jay Morrison at theathletic.com. If you don't subscribe, you should do it. You can get Paul's work, you can get Jay's work, and get C. Trent Rosecrans, who's obviously covering the Reds spring training. Very good piece on Joey Votto and some of the adjustments that he wants to make to his swing heading into his age 37 season. Justin Williams on UC Sports. There's a new gambling vertical at The Athletic, so check it out. TheAthletic.com. Couple of other things really quickly. I briefly mentioned, we were talking about quarterbacks changing teams. If the Steelers do move on from Ben Roethlisberger, is there a home for him in the NFL? at this stage of his career?
I mean, it's a good question. I don't know. Is he the type of guy that would want to hang on for one more year somewhere besides Pittsburgh? I don't know.
I don't see him doing the Phillip Rivers thing, chasing a ring.
He's I think he's content with his legacy. I mean, he's got rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's played. He's had a great career. He's made a ton of money. He should feel comfortable stepping away. I understand the desire to want to continue to do it, but he doesn't. He's never struck me, and I'm in talking to our Pittsburgh guys. They've never really said he's the type of guy that would want to go play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it's the kind of scary part in Pittsburgh right now is it's kind of in the team's hands to decide if they want to, if this is the time to let him wrap his legacy a little bit.
The endorsement from ownership has been lukewarm at best.
Yeah. I mean, the old, as of right now, he's our quarterback.
Exactly.
You never want to hear if you don't want to hear anybody in this radio station. But as of now, from 3 to 6, Mo Eggers, the host of the show.
That might be hearing that tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, you're right about that. There is seemingly at least some momentum pushing J.J. Watt to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I guess. Is there been Vegar tweets like? He tweeted about mitochondria today.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
but people are taking that as saying he's going to the Bills.
Yeah, I enjoy if he is sort of just trolling America at this point. I prefer that.
Yeah,
like that's so great. Just to find the most ridiculous thing you can tweet and watch people come up with theories about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic. I hope he does that for the next week, one a day.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and so I don't know, and I can't contend to know exactly.
He Miles Garrett.
This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are 3 locations in Northern Kentucky: Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings. And there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck's Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck's Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Together would be interesting.
Is J.J. Watt, you know, I think he's still got it.
What's in the tank? Yeah.
But what's in the tank? I mean, what are you getting? Is this going to be all sizzle? You know, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I think he can play.
Yeah.
I think you can get plenty
from him.
You're not
getting 2014 J.J.
No, he's not going to be the game changer, but there's still a lot there. But, that is the question, would be how much.
If you need a story this year, could you find yourself watching a game and writing about your experience with the Canopy Crazies?
Yeah. Sure. As long as I get a T-shirt.
Yeah, I guess you get a T-shirt if you're in the.
I hope these are the good T-shirts.
Canopy Crazies,
like the good. You know how like Josh Snead and the guys at Cincy shirts, they
quality
have it's
a
good that good quality.
Yeah,
like that's you need that because there was a time where people started kind of putting their foot down about the quality of their T-shirts that they'll allow.
Yeah,
and so I think I hope that they're on board with that.
I've become
that
a little bit of a T-shirt snob.
I have too.
I will admit that
there's a lot of old T-shirts that they just get thrown away at this point.
I put on a T-shirt that I got like 8-9 years ago. I put it on to go to work the other day. It looked like I was wearing a pullover jacket.
Yeah,
it didn't. So I pitched that Canopy Crazies. Part of the new Bengals season ticket incentive outline, which good for them for doing it. It's, I guess, going to maybe be, I don't know, but Canopy Crazies.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be up there.
No?
It's doing a story necessarily. Unless it becomes really crazy.
Dude, here's what I'm envisioning, okay? Right. Bengals host the AFC Championship game. They hand the Lamar Hunt trophy, which, frankly, should be a nicer piece of hardware than it is.
Fair.
But it kind of looks like an iron. And they give it to Joe Burrow, right? And it's Joe Burrow's got, and he looks up and says, "Where my Canopy Crazies at?" Like, that's my dream. I don't know if I'll relocate to where the Canopy Crazies are, but that's what I want, and then it will take off.
You don't think he'd say, this one's for the Lux Club?
I hope not.
Yeah.
No, you gotta... Where my Canopy Crazies at?
This one's for the Crazies. You know? Like, I mean, I think that's the only... You know what? If you have a full Canopy, then good for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I hope they have a full Canopy.
Yeah.
And I hope those people are crazy, and I hope this takes off and becomes a thing. There's something about, I don't know what it is. I'm humored by the name. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Not saying it's bad. Not saying anybody did something wrong here. I'm glad the Bengals are doing what they can to get people to come to games. I hope the experience is awesome for people. Fantastic. I want fans to be able to go, and with the Bengals to be good enough that people want to go see them. But there's just something about, oh, where are you sitting? I'm with the Canopy Crazies. All right, what happens up there? We watch the game.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Binoculars, mostly.
Yeah. We will see you next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Do you have any more homework? Any more spreadsheet? Any more?
I do not have any more
mental activities.
I need like a good month and a half break from a single spreadsheet. I can't even open Excel after having to deal with
that. This was hard. Hard work.
I'm sorry it was frustrating for you on your weekend.
Yes, really. Sadly, almost the highlight of my weekend. You could follow Paul on Twitter at Paul Daner Jr. It's coming up on 4 o'clock. Let's get to why UC basketball is not and should not get rid of their coach after 2 years on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
No one covers the Bengals like ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
All right, here we go. It's 4 after 4. This is ESPN 1530. My name's Mo Egger. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're having a very good Tuesday. It's like a spring day outside. And it's what, in the 40s? Huh? Yeah. Snow starting to melt. It's in the 50s today? It was 44 when I left my house. It's in the 50s today? Sign me up for that. Do the show outside. Enjoy a cigar. UofL basketball bumps us out of the way at 5:30. Cardinals taking on Notre Dame. This hour, you ready? Are you ready? Yesterday, it's Thursday is National Chili Day. And so Skyline Chili is celebrating. They've given us gift cards to give away. I was going to say every day this week, but I'm not here on Friday. We played in the past a game called Guess the Foot, right? Yeah, Guess the Foot. I'm asking you, I invented Guess the Foot. We have a version of that that is baseball related. We figured, you know, spring training's underway and full workouts are happening. The first Cactus League game is going to be on Sunday, so that's going to be cool. So the game we're playing now is called Whose Bad Is That? Whose Bad Is That? And we will play this game coming up at 4:40 for your chance to win a Skyline Chili gift card. Some Joey Votto thoughts coming up in about 15 minutes. We started the show yesterday by talking about UC basketball. And if you're a Bearcat fan, and you probably know that I am, but pick the word that describes how you felt about Sunday's 38-point loss, and I share that feeling. It was dismal. It was hard to watch. It was embarrassing. It was sobering. It pissed me off. I mean, however you felt at some point, if you're a Bearcat fan, at some point watching that game, experiencing that, I felt the exact same way. And I do think it is fair to wonder exactly how does this get turned around quickly enough for next year to not be like this season. And I also know as I do this, I'm not speaking to a majority, and you're supposed to address a majority. But this is out there, and you don't have to search far to find it. The UC Bearcats are not very good this year. They're 7-8. They are, barring a run to the conference tournament championship game and a win in it, they're not going to be in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2010, at least years that the tournament was played. And again, what we saw on Sunday, it was an illustration of the stark differences between the best team in the conference right now from a talent standpoint, from a size standpoint, from an experience standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, and what UC put on the floor. And so because of all this, you will find folks who think it's time to move on from John Brannan. Few things on that. Number one, I guess here's the main question that I would have. If that's the perspective you're coming from, for the last 2 years, UC basketball, perhaps due in part to John Brannan's coaching methods, but this is undeniable. Regardless of who you want to point the blame towards, the last 2 years, picture of instability, right? Part of that is just the inherent part of a coaching change. You add to it COVID-19. 5 players have quit during the season since the beginning of last year. They've had a number of guys who chose to not play at Cincinnati upon the change from Mick Cronin to John Brannan. There haven't been many stretches of time where the roster has been settled. Do you really expect during a time frame where they have to go and get transfers, go get some high-end high school players, where they've got to fill as many as 5, perhaps even more scholarships, do you really expect to blow out the staff, bring in a new staff, and fill the void to the extent that next year's team is going to be drastically better than this year's team? And when I say drastically better, I mean get this program immediately back to where it was just in 2019. I would expect, if there's a coaching change, that the holes you have are going to be added to by more holes created. More defections, more players leaving, more guys choosing to not play for the next regime. If you want stability, is a coaching change after 2 seasons doing anything to provide stability? You might wonder, well, what kind of players are they going to get? Who are they going to bring in? I don't know the answers to those questions. Those are fair questions. And frankly, we're not going to know the answers to those questions really until next year's team starts playing. But do you really expect a new staff to come in, hit the ground running day one, and fill all the spots on this roster better than the current staff? I don't. Another part of this is this. It's interesting how suddenly a lot of folks have chosen to look down their noses at the program that NKU has. John Brannan's first year at Northern Kentucky, they went 9-21. 9-21. Now, look, there was a lot happening here. They were still newbies in the Division I. It was the first year that John Brannan was the coach. It was the last year that they were ineligible to play in the NCAA tournament. They couldn't play in the NIT. And so, you know, there was still a lot. There was still a lot that program was dealing with, but they went 9-21. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison to this year, but a 9-21. The next year, they made the NCAA tournament. The year after that, they went 22-10. The year after that, they went 26-9. By the time John Brannan left NKU, they were arguably the best program in the Horizon League. Say what you want about the caliber of competition in that league. And by the way, that's nothing against Wright State, which has also been very, very good. But they were, if not the, certainly one of the best programs in that league. And that list is not, you know, that deep. Now, you might go, well, it's a different animal, Horizon League versus the AAC. And it is. And you might say it's a different animal coaching at NKU versus coaching at UC. And there's no denying that it is. But you hired John Brannan. Not because he's from here. Not because he was different than Mick, although those were certainly factors. But the thing that attracted you to him when you hired him, and I know the AD that hired him is not here anymore, but the thing that attracted you to him was his track record. The track record of success that he did have at NKU, was it perfect? No. I followed that program closely enough. There were times, remember they lost on senior night, Drew McDonald senior night to Cleveland State where they got whacked. It wasn't a very good Cleveland State team. Had a handful of head-scratching losses, but the overall body of work across those final 3 years, they won 72 games. They made the NCAA tournament twice. They're really, really good by Horizon League standards. You could sit there and look down your nose at the Horizon League, but the reality is you hired him because of his track record in the Horizon League. Previous head coach, you hired in part because of his track record in the Ohio Valley Conference. Hell, the previous coach to that, you hired because of his track record in the MAC. You can't dismiss that. You can't dismiss what he did at NKU, because what he did at NKU was a reason why, as I recall, everybody wanted to hire him. By the way, I went back and looked. Poll question we had on the blog at the time. Back when we did poll questions on the blog, if you're a Bearcat fan, are you in favor of hiring John Brandon? I understand this is deeply unscientific. I understand there's all sorts of fans who could weigh in. 72% on board. You were on board, I'd like to think, not because he's from here, not because it's a neat story. You hired him because of his track record at NKU. If that's the case, then don't you have to give him a chance to repeat what he did at NKU, which is take a program and in a very short amount of time get things turned around?
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think the answer is yes. By the way, whether you like to admit it or not, and I get it if you don't, whether you like to admit it or not, you know, we're watching all sorts of programs struggle in a COVID year, right? Duke has recently played much, much better, and they've got a shot to make the NCAA tournament. I watched them last night. They look great. They've been so much better without Jalen Johnson. And Kentucky's playing really well right now. By the way, just as an aside, UK to win the SEC tournament is at plus 2,000. I think there's value there, especially if they win their next two and don't see Alabama until the final of the SEC tournament. But by and large, and I know Carolina just kicked the crap out of Louisville by 45 points and have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. Michigan State is awful. The story, one of the big stories of the year in college basketball is how, boy, the quote-unquote blue bloods are struggling. Now, there's issues that those programs have beyond COVID-19. There's no denying that. But everybody is having to overcome these COVID-19-related obstacles. UC basketball is one of them. There's a handful of other programs that are probably along that same level. And then there's some blue bloods. if those programs aren't immune to a down season, when, by the way, Duke, no coaching change. Kentucky, no coaching change. Michigan State, no coaching change. Carolina, no coaching change. Kansas, which I think is a dangerous team in March, still hasn't been as good as usual, but I'll throw them into the conversation as well. No coaching change, right? No recent coaching change. All coaches going to the Final Four. Boy, if those coaches can get away with a down season, you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me that this coach in a transition year can't have a down season? Are you kidding me? In a year that we knew they weren't going to be great to begin with. Granted, I think one of the things that has impacted this season, look, the reality is the season started, they started playing Xavier, they played a good Lipscomb team, they went to Tennessee, who's pretty good. Georgia's not very good, but fine, they still played at Georgia. They didn't get a chance to play Savannah State or Jackson State or Popcorn State or Murray. They didn't get a chance to play bye games. And I think their record and their team would be a little bit different, but let's be honest. If I would have said to you last July, Cincinnati is going to go into the final 2 weeks of the regular season, kind of on the outside looking into the NCAA tournament, sitting there right around 500, you probably would have shrugged your shoulders and said, yeah. Like, I don't know that this season, I get it, revolving door of talent, revolving door of players. I don't know, though, that this season, on a macro level, is that far of a departure from what we thought this season was going to be. Granted, there's been some stuff I haven't enjoyed watching. They're not very good defensively. There's nothing they do really well. They're a bad shooting team. They're a bad passing team. They're a bad free throw shooting team. They need rim protection. They have nobody who can take over a game late. Like, all sorts of issues. All sorts of issues. And I wish some of the stuff that we knew at the beginning of the year would be sorted out better by the end of the season. It is, however, worth pointing out that before they went to Houston and got absolutely crushed, they did play okay, at least, their previous four games after a 25-day layoff. And the 25-day layoff is a factor. And yet they overcame that factor and did win four straight games. I'm not telling you that I think John Brannon, that I know he's going to win. I'm not telling you should be completely satisfied with the on-court product you're seeing this year. I'm not telling you there's not legitimate concerns about how they turn this thing around quickly for a fan base that I include myself in that has gotten used to, you know, huge expectations and this team being far better than it is this year. But the idea that we're going to blow out a coach after a season that we all kind of acknowledge was going to be a transition year when it's proven difficult in a COVID environment, when nobody else in college basketball is immune to a bad season, that is quite frankly asinine. The idea of blowing him out is asinine. I'm not telling you should be doing cartwheels about where this program is right now. But this school, this athletic department, frankly, this athletic director would be laughed at, mocked, if they moved on after essentially one season. Look, I get it. Last year did not go as smoothly as a lot of us thought it was going to. It didn't. And does the coach have some culpability there? Yeah, sure, I guess. I think John would be the first one to tell you that. At the same time, a coaching change is not easy. Coaching changes often involve some very, very short-term upheaval. It's hard to maintain continuity. Travis Steele moved over one seat. Xavier didn't struggle. Xavier isn't still, to a degree, feeling the effects of a coaching change. And I think we would all agree that's a really good program if you're a Bearcat fan, right? They're not immune to it. So Cincinnati should be. And, you know, as much as a lot of people don't want to admit it, we talk about the coach and Jaron Cumberland not being on the same page last year. And sure, is that on the coach? Yes. When two people can't get on the same page, that's rarely one person's fault, right? Any deterioration of any relationship is probably on both parties. Part of that's not on Jaron. I get it. I share it. I feel it. I get the frustration. It's hard to watch. It's not easy to go through. But it's not time to move on from a coach after basically one transition season. 12 months ago at this time, that team was playing pretty well. Won 12 of the last 16 games. Who knows if they would have gotten to the NCAA tournament, because they probably would have had to win their first game in the AAC tournament, and unfortunately, that couldn't happen. A year later, you could find folks entertaining the idea that it's time to move on from the coach. And I'm sorry. I can't get behind that. You can tell me why I'm wrong. 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. We'll get to Joey Votto here in a few minutes. I'm also, if you're a Bearcat fan, I'm going to make you make a choice. Because if you're still hell-bent on doing this, okay, let's make it about dollars and cents, and I'll make you make a choice next. ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. 24 after 4, we are 18 minutes away, roughly 18 minutes away from playing Whose Bad Is That? You can feel the excitement. It's going to be at a fever pitch by Thursday, which is actually National Chili Day. Yeah, right. 513-749-1530. Your phone calls here in just a second. This is going to be me doing some math. So excuse me, because I'm not good at math. I'm not good at a lot of things, which you probably know, but I'm not great at math. My understanding, and I read stadium.com had a piece when John Brannon was hired at UC that outlined the parameters of his contract, which is, you know, public record because it's a public school. John Brannon signed a 6-year deal worth $9 million. So without getting into the ins and outs of how all that money, where all that money comes from, it's, you know, basically on average $1.5 million per year. So let's do some simple math. If you are clinging to the idea that the remedy for UC basketball is to move on from the head coach, which I don't agree with, let's look at this from what is a dollars and cents perspective. So there's a provision in his contract that if they blow him out, they owe him 75% of what's left. So at the end of this season, he's going to be owed $6 million.
if he finishes the contract. If he gets blown out, he's owed 75% of what he's due. That's $4.5 million. Again, that's Open Records Request Stadium.com. That's $4.5 million to make him go away. Think they got $4.5 million laying around to pay a coach not to coach? Didn't we just do the story, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, about how Luke Fickell is supposed to get an $8 million locker room, but he was just told it could only be a $4 million locker room? And nearly every Bearcat fan, UC alum, and supporter that I know instantly was like, oh, dude, you got to give Luke what he wants. You got to give Luke what he wants. And I don't entirely disagree. I would say, like, dude, coach, you've done a great job. It's a pandemic. Everybody's dealing with adjustments. Like, you know, you're going to have to figure it out, right? Go win some games, and the money long-term is going to take care of itself. Your locker room is going to take care of itself. Is one more year going to kill us? It's, you know, this is the climate that we're in. But got to give Luke what he wants. Can't piss off Luke. Okay, fine. Let's say there's $4.5 million sitting there. We can do one of two things with it. You could pay it to John Brannon to leave and then hire another basketball coach. Or you could pay John what he's owed, space it out, and I know I'm overly simplifying this. This isn't exactly how it works out. Or you can figure out a way to come up with the money for Luke Fickell's locker room. I think I know where the better deployment of funds is. It's investing in the football program, which is right now your school's athletic department's prime asset. Like if you see football, if you see sports are ever going to get to the Big 12 or get to the ACC or get to a better league, I hate to make it like this because there have been some schools that have gotten to Power 5 conferences without great football programs, but it is probably going to be on the shoulders of football program, so make the facilities as good as possible. I know I'm grossly oversimplifying this. I get it. I'm doing it just to sort of illustrate that it's not quite as easy as let him go. Like, there are financial ramifications. This school's athletic budget is already tight as is. Add to it a pandemic. Paying $4.5 million for a guy not to coach? Just one more on this. I've done this show for 12 years. Started doing this show in 2009. I can't tell you how many times early during the tenure of Mick Cronin, and I started doing a radio show here in 2007, Mick's first season, and perhaps less year one, but certainly year two, and definitely year three, and absolutely year four. It was rare during the college basketball season that I wouldn't field an array of phone calls from folks who wanted to move on from Mick Cronin. Now, you could take issues with whatever limitations there were NCAA tournament-wise while Mick was here, but I'm glad they didn't do that. And I remember Butch Jones' first season. And full disclosure, I wasn't a big Butch Jones fan. I wasn't. But he had a miserable first year. Cupboard was bare. They go 4-8. The next 2 years, they shared Big East championships. Boy, year one, folks wanted Butch gone. By the time he left, people were crying that he was leaving. Luke Fickell at the end of year one. Mo, he's on the hot seat. Boy, this isn't going to hunt. They were like three plays away Luke's first year from finishing 1-11. Go back and look. Pretty happy that didn't happen, that they didn't move on from him, right? So oftentimes the instant hot, sort of loud, this coach has to go reaction long term ends up being proven to not be the right reaction. That doesn't guarantee at all that John Brannon's going to be the guy. There are coaches who get hired. There's a lot of fanfare and it doesn't work out. Everybody loved the Tommy Tuberville hire. It didn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't. But I'm not pulling the trigger after 1 year. And again, you hired him, and everybody was on board with hiring him. I know Mike Bone's not here anymore. But if you hired him because of his track record, then you have to look at his track record and give him a chance to, at least to a large degree, repeat what he did at his previous stop that went into that track record. It's 4:30. Taryn, do I have time for a very quick phone call before we play Whose Bad Is That in 10 minutes? All right, Tony, we're up against it. What's up?
Yeah, Mo, you think back to when John got hired. I don't know if he is the right coach for this job because, yeah, it is unsettling. Some of the guys that have left didn't really bother me up until the Zach Harvey deal, but who knows? There might have been locker room problems there. I don't know. And then I heard Brian Fox's last night, I guess, and Jaron Cumberland, they've been out there singing the John Ron podcast and all that kind of stuff, that John's not the right coach. But you think back to how late in the procedure that John got that job. UCLA waited till they went through, it seemed like, about 200 coaches before, and Mick was the one that kept waiting on that job. But when he got it, according to Chad at the time, the coaches that were the most interested in taking UC job that late in the procedure were Frank Martin, mm-hmm. who was leery of getting fired at South Carolina and probably will after this year, and then Chad Mata, who I don't know if he's still able to walk, but he was rumored, and the other guy that was rumored was John Brannon.
Yeah.
So the years I was a UC season ticket holder, and I remember, Chad, I started to go see a Northern play the year UC played at Northern. You know, we were over there in that gym, and I had a buddy that said, I'll go to UC games if you'll go to NKU games with me. And I really thought, this guy's a pretty damn good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I like what he does. And he got that job. At the time, I thought, well, hell, this is the right hire. Now, we got a former player that I think kind of had his way for 3 years, and maybe Coach Brannon and him didn't click. But you got to remember that player spent that whole offseason trying to get. He wanted to leave, Mo.
Yeah.
And he didn't cut it. And then he comes back in. He gets injured. I don't know what kind of shape he was in. And then this year, it seems like every break in the world it's went against his coach, but. And then now I hear the Fox guys saying that Coach Brannon's a jerk. His coaching staff's afraid of him.
To me, all sort of a byproduct of, I appreciate the phone calls always tonight. All that stuff to me, I'm not saying none of it's true, but it's like the Zach Taylor locker room thing. Look, there's every reason to doubt Zach Taylor. He's going to come back this year, but when they lost a lot of games this season. And then, you know, the stories come, the locker room's falling apart. I tend to take all of that with a grain of salt because, to me, that comes from disgruntled former employees, former players. I take the word of disgruntled former employees at any company with a huge grain of salt. More time on that coming up in just a bit. 27 from 5, the big Joey Votto question, which I know you can't wait for. And most importantly, in 10 minutes... Whose bad is that on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station? Sports updates, a service of Kelsey Chevrolet, home of lifetime powertrain protection and guaranteed credit approval from their family to yours for life. Go to kelseyschev.com. Tiger Woods has been hospitalized. He is undergoing surgery after a single car crash in California. Police source tells ESPN the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. Authorities there say that Woods had to be removed from his car using the jaws of life. The University of Cincinnati announced increased capacity at Fifth Third Arena for basketball games, men's basketball games, as well as volleyball matches. Go to catsticks.com if you're interested in that. Cincinnati is back on the floor tomorrow at Tulsa, then home on Friday and Sunday for Tulane and Memphis. Trayvon Faulkner named to the All-Horizon League second team. And Marquez Work named the Freshman of the Year. No surprise there. Also tabbed to the All-Horizon League. Third team Norse will open up play in the Horizon League tournament on Tuesday. College hoops this afternoon. It's Miami at Central Michigan. Louisville's taking on Notre Dame tonight. That game is live on ESPN 1530. And the Columbus Blue Jackets play the first of four games in 6 days tonight. Jackets hosting Chicago at Nationwide Arena. 21 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Back to you on the John Brannon UC basketball thing. I'm sorry. I'm going to defer to his track record. You hired him because of his track record. Fix stuff. Lift the program out of the muck. Come back after a down season. That's what this is. I'm going to give him a chance to do that. And frankly, financially, I'm not sure the University of Cincinnati has a choice. Red spring training is continuing today in Goodyear. I quickly want to do this. We played some Joey Votto audio yesterday, and we've got some stuff from D. Gordon, David Bell a little bit later on. We played some Joey Votto sound yesterday, and the audio was actually from Sunday. You heard him talking about his approach at the plate. You heard him talking about standing straight up and perhaps hitting for more power, which is what he did after his benching, and he was a little bit more productive in the basically the second half of the season, but the final month of the year, and he's going to want to go back to high slugging percentage, driving the ball. He talked about when he was 18 years old in the minor leagues, leading the league he was in extra base hits, being a power guy. He's been a power guy before. I think, look, Darren and I were talking about this before the show. There's nobody who moves the meter, maybe in all of Cincinnati sports, more than Joey Votto, because you can find people who don't like him. You can find people who do like him. I'm a big Joey Votto fan. I also understand the stage of his career that he is at. If you are one of those people that looks at Joey Votto through the lens of the money that he makes, and I've never understood that, quite frankly. I understand, you know, looking at the roster and, okay, how can they make the team better? And this dude's going to be making $25 million. How do we build around him? What's the budget? All that kind of stuff. But I don't watch Joey Votto, day in and day out during a baseball season through the lens of he better get a hit here because he's making a lot of money. That's not how I do it. If that's what you are, it's fine. But if you solely look at Joey Votto through the lens of he's making a lot of money, this season is going to be impossible for him because there's almost no way that he gives the Reds $25 million worth of performance. Who knows? I think he's interesting, though. I said this yesterday. He wants to hit for more power. And when Joey Votto talks hitting and talks approach, it's not something that he just came up with, you know, that day. It's months of thought, months of study, months of thinking, months of tweaking his swing, months of working on his approach. We'll see if it pays off. But what makes him really interesting to me is he's one of the most cerebral, not just hitters, but just one of the most cerebral-sounding athletes I've ever heard. When Joey Votto gives an answer, you could tell there's thought behind it. I actually think some people don't appreciate that to the extent they should, because we hear so many athletes who just say stuff and their mouth moves and nothing, you know, of any consequence or substance really comes out. But there is the part of me that wants to defer to Joey Votto's approach or whatever he says about his approach, because he is one of the smartest, most cerebral, most studious hitters of all time, which I genuinely believe. At the same time, there is the reality of he's 37 and the production has dropped off steadily since 2017, and he was benched last year. I think he's a fascinating study this season for all of the typical reasons. And look, you better hope Joey Votto's right, because he's going to play first base probably 140, maybe 140 times. But what's going to be really interesting to watch this year is whether his body can make the adjustments that his mind wants it to. Like, it sounds great. I'm going to adjust my approach. I'm going to adjust my approach in the strike zone. I am going to change my stance. I am going to try to drive the ball more. I'm going to strike out more, but that's part of the cost of maybe having a higher slugging percentage and hitting more home runs, especially in a hitter-friendly park. I know there's obviously going to be a deadened ball this year, which is fascinating, because baseball swore for years that there wasn't a juiced ball. If there wasn't, why does there need to be a deadened ball? But okay. But the bigger thing for me is, it sounds great. We get all worked up. Joey says, I'm going to have a bounce back year. He talks about a hitting approach, and it's hard to not get excited about it. At the same time, there is the reality here. Athletes in their mid to late 30s do decline. Joey Votto, physically, the last 3 years has shown decline. He's not come close to being the player that he was in 2017 and probably never will. Can his body do what Joey's mind wants it to do? If the answer is yes, that is fascinating to think about what those numbers could look like. If the answer is no, it's really not going to matter what his approach is. 16 away from 5 o'clock. Taryn, are we ready? Are we doing this? Is it time? You ready? Okay, we're going to get a break in. Thursday is National Chili Day. Skyline Chili is celebrating by giving us gift cards to give away. And, you know, what we like to do is make you work. So if you go to my website at ESPN1530.com/Mo, or I literally have just tweeted out a link, we are going to play a game called Whose Bad Is That? You may remember that last year we played a game called Guess the Foot. And, you know, we'll still play Guess the Foot at some point this year for some reason. But Whose Bad Is That is it's sort of a spinoff of Guess the Foot. Go to the link, click it, and you will see a picture of a bat. I need you to tell me whose bat is that. 513-749-1530. Taryn, how many people played yesterday? I think we had like 6-7 people play before we had a winner. I am anticipating this being slightly more difficult, but not that difficult. Study it, look at it, examine it, share it with your friends. You can only win by calling the radio show. We're not doing tweets, no emails. Whose bat is that? Tell me. The contest line is 513-749-4545. We use the regular call-in line as well at 513-749-1530. And the winner of Whose Bat Is That today will win a $25 Skyline Chili gift card. Thanks to our friends at Skyline Chili, celebrating National Chili Day on Thursday. It's your turn to play. It's your chance to play. Whose Bat Is That? When we come back on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Whose Bat Is That? Your chance to win a Skyline Chili gift card if you go to ESPN1530.com. I actually really do like our chances of getting a winner here in the first go-round. All right, so we're ready to go here. We've invested heavily in Whose Bat Is That? We have the very elaborate production that officially opens up today's game of Whose Bat Is That, Taryn? Hit it.
From the fine folks that brought you Guess the Foot, it's time to play America's new favorite game. Whose Bat Is That? Where you, the listeners, call in and try to guess whose bat is that. And now for your host, Mo Egger.
Wow. Little Family Feud theme song today, huh? I'll let you change it up a little bit on me. That's good. Unpredictable. By the way, before we get into Whose Bat Is That, and I think we're gonna have a winner pretty quickly here. I have a feeling. I think this is a little bit more difficult than yesterday, but I like the savviness. I like the intelligence of our audience. I do. I just want to illustrate here. This is the kind of support that I get from my colleagues here at the radio station. One of them just texted me right when we came back on the air. Quote: "Whose bat is that, huh?" Thanks. There's the shot.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Confidence I was hoping for. Yes, the answer is yes. Whose bat is that? Taryn, are you ready? How confident? Oh, we're playing. Wow. Little Beastie Boys. Wow. Taryn kind of making things up as we go along. How do you feel about our chances of having a winner here immediately on Whose Bat Is That?
Feeling pretty good today.
You feel good? All right, very good. Should we go in order here? All right, very good. let's start with Jerry. Jerry, whose bat is that?
How about Scooter Gennett?
It is not Scooter Gennett. Thank you so much for playing. Whose bat is that? That's a pretty good guess. That's a pretty good guess. All right, let's see. Let's go to Joe. Joe, whose bat is that?
That is Barry Larkin's bat.
Barry Larkin, thank you so. Very good. Thank you so much for playing. Whose bat is that? ESPN1530.com. All right, let's see. DJ, can you tell us whose bat is that?
Chris Sabo.
Can I get a Chris Sabo? No, DJ, thank you so much for playing. Whose bat is that? Wow. Really going all out on the production. I like it. We go from DJ to TJ. TJ, can you tell us whose bat is that?
Paul O'Neill.
Do we have a Paul O'Neill?
Yes!
There you go. Paul O'Neill's bat. That is a photo of Paul O'Neill's bat. I don't have anything else to elaborate on. Paul O'Neill, yes, that is a picture of Paul O'Neill's bat swinging it in a game while he was playing for the Reds, I believe, in 1991. So the congratulations to TJ. Stay there. Hang tight. We'll get your info. We'll get you your gift card. Thanks to everybody who played. Thanks to everybody who lined up to play. Thanks to our friends at Skyline. Chili, here's the really good news for you. Whose bat is that? Is not limited to today or tomorrow. It's line two. Taryn, that's the guy. TJ, that's our winner. We're playing tomorrow again. Another game of Whose Bat Is That? And you know, tomorrow the game may increase in difficulty. Who knows? Who knows? But you'll have a chance to win a Skyline Chili gift card of your own. If you don't win one, you can also, we have a place at ESPN1530.com. You can register and make sure you celebrate National Chili Day. Of course, at the only place to celebrate National Chili Day, Skyline Chili. All right, you can get your own bat if you're a youth league baseball player. We're going to chat with our friend Charlie Frank of the Reds Community Fund. Reds are working really hard. We had Eric Davis on the show a few weeks ago to talk about this. They are looking for kids, boys and girls, to play in recreational leagues throughout Greater Cincinnati and Reds country. We'll get to that coming up at 5:15. I'm looking forward to that conversation. U of L and Notre Dame coming up at 5:30. One or two more UC basketball thoughts and something on D. Gordon. All coming up next on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
Guess what day it is?
Taco Tuesday. That's right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's 4 after 5. Hi, my name's Mo Egger. This is ESPN 1530. Thank you so much for listening. We're done in 26 minutes. Louisville basketball. Is everybody not mad over the Chris Mack video anymore? Are we still losing our mind over that? Are we still mad at Coach Mack? I called him Coach Mack. Are we still mad at Chris Mack for doing that in his house with his friends? Nobody was mad about the COVID-19 protocol breach. That's not what people were mad about. We're mad that he's poking the bear a little bit after he beat Kentucky. If that upset you, I can only tell you to get a life. I can't put it any more plain than that. Get a life. There you go. There's some analysis of that situation. We'll do some baseball coming up in about 10 minutes. Reds continuing workouts in Goodyear. First Cactus League game, which it's... I got a tweet here from my guy, Mike. 57 degrees in the shade in Anderson. That's what we're dealing with today? Dude, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. A little baseball weather. Kind of baseball weather. Well, the snow melts. Reds and Indians. Playing the Indians, right? First Cactus League game on Sunday. Yeah. Mr. Sports Guy's on top of it. That'll be Sunday afternoon. I talked a lot last hour about John Brandon, and I know when I do this, I am speaking to a minority, but this is sort of maybe a little bit more of a social media thing than anything, kind of a loud minority of fans who took Sunday's 38-point loss, and that's a reason why you got to move on from John Brandon. I'll acknowledge something. I think Tony talked about this on Cincy 360 today. The one thing that would make this season a little bit easier to stomach is, you know, UC basketball. I go back to the last time that the program kind of transitioned. And I'm not even talking about Mick's first couple of years. But remember, 2014, they're really good. And they lost in the first round to Harvard, but Sean Kilpatrick had this amazing senior season, and then he graduated. And you kind of thought, all right, for a year, maybe two, this program is going to dip a little bit. But then, you know, hopefully they'll get back to a point where they're in contention for a league championship. And those dips still included in 2015. They were an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, still won a game 2016. They still made the NCAA tournament. Remember, that was the game where they lost to St. Joe's, where they got Octavius Ellis tipped a ball in just after the horn that would have tied the game, heartbreaking loss. But you still could look ahead at who was coming. Like, I remember following closely Gary Clark's last year of high school, seeing the point totals, reading about him, finding out about him, wanting to know more about him. That's oftentimes what gets you through not just a bad season. It's kind of the fun of being a college basketball fan of a good program, right? With UC basketball, there's none of that this year. There's no – the cavalry as of now is not coming. And you could have issue with some of the recruiting philosophies that the coaching staff has decided to sort of employ here during the pandemic, but that is the reality. That makes it a little bit more difficult to absorb this season when – it's hard to point to this player coming in. I remember during some of those seasons in the mid-2000s or early 2000s when it felt like UC never had a point guard following the high school career of Devin Downey. And you went, okay, fine, this stinks right now. They have nobody who can bring the ball up, nobody who can get into offense, nobody who can break anybody down off the dribble, nobody who can run a fast break. But, man, this guy's coming. You followed his career. And then the following season, obviously, Bob Huggins wasn't here, but you still had a chance to watch Devin Downey. I understand and share that frustration. Some of that is, a lot of that is pandemic caused. But yeah, there has been a recruiting philosophy put forth by this coaching staff during this time that I don't necessarily think is dissimilar from any other coaching staff in the country. But still, all you care about, all I care about, are the results of recruiting. Who are they getting? Who's coming in? And right now, the answer is nobody. But the idea that they should move on from John Brannon is based on a couple of different things to me. I mentioned one of them before. You hired him because of a track record. You have to defer to his track record, and his track record is, after one miserable season at NKU, they ended up winning 72 games over the next 3 years. You could dismiss the Horizon League. You can dismiss NKU basketball if you choose, but that's, you hired him because of his success there. It's why he was on your radar. It was why his school hired him. I know a different athletic director. But also, if the idea is to fix the roster in time for this program to be better next year, in time for the team next year to be better than this one, does that happen when you already have a ton of scholarships to fill? Does that happen when you change coaches? I know we're kind of talking about a kind of a financially unrealistic scenario anyway. But does that happen when you change coaches? I mean, look at all the guys who are either not going to be here next year because they're just moving on. They've exhausted their eligibility and aren't going to take advantage of chances to come back. Or they've just chosen to go play college basketball elsewhere. Or they've left school choosing not to play college basketball. There's a lot of scholarships to fill. Who knows what's going to happen with the players who are on the roster right now? There's a couple of things I don't do, by the way. I mentioned this briefly. I don't put as much stock as others may in the opinions of disgruntled former players. I didn't do that with the Bengals this year. I didn't do that with Zach Taylor's locker room. There's every reason in the world to wonder if Zach Taylor is the guy. But the opinions of former players airing gripes somewhat anonymously, I take that with enormous grains of salt. We've had former employees here who left for whatever reason. They had a bad experience. They didn't get the job done. Their perspective on this place, honestly, not one that I care about. They're not here. Sometimes they have an axe to grind. Maybe there's a vendetta. Maybe the problem is them. I'm just not that interested in former player says this. Guy who, I'm not talking about the perspective of former players on the way the team is playing or how a certain guy may improve. I'm talking about player who was here either this season or last who's now going to air out their gripes about whatever they don't like about the coach or the program. I take that. It's not to say that they're invalid. It's not to say that they don't have something to say. It's not to say that their perspective is off base. I take it with a grain of salt because I wonder what the motivation is behind it. I also don't spend a lot of time worrying about what players' parents put on Twitter as it relates to their willingness or lack thereof to stay with the program. But I think the question is, it's an important one, if you believe that it's time for a different coach there, who's better equipped to at least get the program back on solid footing from a roster perspective? Somebody who's here now or somebody from the outside? 12 minutes after 5, 513-749-1530, 866-702-3776. I talked with Eric Davis on this show a week and a half ago, which was unbelievable. He and the Reds Community Fund are involved in a campaign which wants youth baseball players, youth softball players, to get involved in recreational leagues across greater Cincinnati and Reds country. If you have a youth baseball or softball player, stick around. We'll tell you how they can get involved and what the Reds are doing next on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. Quarter after 5, this is ESPN 1530 Louisville basketball. 15 minutes away, the Cardinals taking on Notre Dame. The Reds, along with the iconic Eric Davis, who was on this show about 2 weeks ago, they started a campaign a few weeks ago to encourage kids who play baseball and softball to get involved in recreational leagues across greater Cincinnati and northern Kentucky, Reds country, which obviously that's a huge radius, huge area. The Reds and the Reds Community Fund are looking to and working to connect parents to local teams in time for the spring and summer baseball and softball leagues. I know there is still snow on the ground, but you go outside today, you can't help but thinking about baseball. And if you're a parent, can't think of a better time to get your child signed up for youth baseball and softball. The executive director of the Reds Community Fund, our buddy Charlie Frank, is here to tell us more what's going on.
Like you said, Mo, it's 50 degrees out there. It feels like about 80. So watching all this snow melt away is going to be a little soggy. But, yeah, we can't wait to get more and more kids to the game. And as you know, this year is more critical than ever just based on the fact that so many kids lost their season last year.
Yeah, no, let's talk about that first. And my, you know, I had a lot of thoughts when that happened. I felt bad for high school kids. I felt bad for high school seniors. But I also thought from the perspective of this sport, which, as you well know, at times it can be a challenge to steer kids towards baseball, steer kids towards softball. A year without it, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is just another huge challenge for our industry. And you and I both love the game and believe in the game. And, you know, obviously we invest an awful lot of time and energy through the Reds and the Community Fund and our academy because we believe in what the game teaches, both through baseball and softball. Plus, you know, baseball and softball doesn't require an athlete to be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest. If you know the game, if you appreciate the nuance, you can earn a varsity letter. You can be in a conversation for a scholarship. So these are just some of the reasons why it's such a high level of urgency, Mo. And, you know, we were facing a challenge already. Baseball is at a crossroads as an industry. We're an older sport now in terms of, you know, the viewing audience. You know, attendance has dropped a little bit throughout the league. I mean, and kids just aren't playing at the level that they were a generation or more ago, with so many challenges out there with soccer and lacrosse and beyond. So, you know, we're focusing on this all the time because we know that we've got to do everything that we can to get kids thinking about the game again at a young age. And when you lose a season, we hear the numbers are steady with a lot of the youth recreation partners that we work with, but those numbers still aren't approaching the 2019 numbers, so there's a lot of work to do.
All right, you've got some events, drive-through sign-up events, and you've got one of them scheduled actually tomorrow, another couple next week. Tell me about them.
So, yeah, we'll be set up from 3:30 until 5 o'clock tomorrow at the Boys and Girls Club, the Covington Club on 26th Street, and then we'll be at a couple of Cincinnati Recreation Commission locations next week on Monday. We'll be at the Madisonville Rec Center on Stewart Avenue, and then on Wednesday we'll be at the fabulous Dunham Recreation Complex on Dunham Lane. Again, all three of these are 3:30 to 5. So it's tomorrow, Wednesday the 24th, at the Boys and Girls Club in Covington, and then Monday and Wednesday of next week at Madisonville on Monday and Dunham on Wednesday on the west side. So you know what we're doing, and we did this at our academy yesterday for that same 90-minute window, is we're just letting people know if you're interested in having your kid sign up, or if you have gone to reds.com/signup and you've registered already and you want to talk to somebody about what goes into registration, what it means. We had everyone yesterday. We had Jeff Wilds, the president of Knothole. We had Scott Priestley from the St. William Athletic Association, who also represents the Western Baseball Conference. We had former Red Scout Marlon Stiles. So we're going to have representatives from different leagues and from the Reds at all of these different locations. People can just stop by for a few minutes. It takes about 5-6 minutes to fill out the application. We have staff there that can literally do that on a tablet to make it easy. If you show up, everyone gets a wiffle ball bat and ball set, so to get kids thinking about playing ball, and a Reds hat. And, you know, we want to do everything we can to make baseball and softball easy and accessible for families wondering if it's time for their kids to start playing.
Reds.com/signup. You can go for information and to register as well. And it's worth pointing out, this is regardless of skill level and experience, correct?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Mo. The audience we're trying to reach here primarily are the kids that don't play yet, or the kids that have only played a little bit and are trying to figure out how to maybe take that step from T-ball to coach pitch or to one of their first teams. You know, we're happy to meet with anybody, absolutely, but, you know, we figure that the families that already are set with teams, that already know how the system works, this is really intended more for the novice family.
And it's worth emphasizing the softball part of this as well.
Boy, it sure is. Baseball, we're lucky in Cincinnati. First of all, you know, all the suburban select leagues are very, very healthy. We've got, you know, Knothole Baseball, which is an 80-year institution in this community that still has very strong leadership and a terrific footprint. There are other baseball leagues, you know, that have sort of splintered off from Knothole in the recreational space over the last couple of decades. But softball really lacks that breadth of opportunity. And we're working with the Knothole organization to launch some additional softball programs. The Reds have softball connections through our RBI program and some of the developmental teams that we're running. And Taylor Kinley, who is a recent member, staff addition, is somebody who worked for Major League Baseball and for USA Softball, and she's helping us get a lot of these opportunities off the ground. It's not as easy for softball, but if you have a young daughter who wants to play, sign them up, and we will help you find a team.
Charlie Frank, Executive Director, Reds Community Fund. Go to reds.com/signup. And again, there is a drive-through sign-up event tomorrow in Covington at the Kent County Boys and Girls Club from 3:30 until 5 o'clock. I was lucky enough to have a chance to chat with Eric Davis about this initiative and so much other stuff, which was awesome. I love chatting with Eric. It's got to be, I can't think of a better spokesperson, and the enthusiasm he had for this, you could hear it in his voice, and that can't be anything but helpful.
You know, Mo, he came to us. I mean, he heard what we were thinking about doing, and I really need to give the Reds credit, too. We've been talking about doing this sort of marketing campaign now for a number of years, and the Reds came to us in November and said, you know, unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able to promote ticket sales and promotional dates to the likes of which we would in any other year that wasn't mired in a pandemic. So, you know, they've got some marketing bandwidth here that they wouldn't have normally had. And not only did they come to us to say, let's go and do this now, but they also helped us, you know, get Eric. I mean, Eric heard about it. He reached out to, several members of the staff and volunteered to get involved. And he's been doing a lot of stuff with the community fund, the academy, here over this past year. We're working more closely, thanks to Eric and Barry Larkin, with Red Scouting and player development than ever before. And these are huge differentiators for us, you know, as we try to get kids back to the game. I mean, if the hometown team is also invested in developing kids, even if they're not pro prospects, that's a huge advantage for us. And it's up to us now to really figure out how to take Barry and Eric and their energy and turn it into more and more registration.
We're closing in on opening day, and so obviously you start to think about not just the season on the field for the big league club, but the work that you guys do. Give me an idea of what 2021 looks like for the Reds Community Fund.
Well, you know, as we're talking with registration, all of our programs, our RBI program, our Reds Fund at Bat program, our field renovation efforts, these are all initiatives that are going to be, back up at 100%. I mean, a year ago, we were on hold. We really didn't know what the spring was going to bring in terms of next steps with the pandemic. All the high school teams, you know, lost an entire season. It was tragic as far as our industry is concerned, and obviously tragic at a lot of levels. But, baseball and softball are back this year. If high school sports and amateur sports were able to figure out how to get indoors for basketball and volleyball, we can figure out a low-contact outdoor sport. So we are back this year. Our academy is going to be hopping our high school showcase with Skyline Chili and with – and you've heard of them, Skyline Chili?
I'm aware of their product.
Tom Gamble and In-Game Sports, what a phenomenal job Tom's team does with the showcase. That'll be kicking off in April with a lot of events at our academy. And, you know, here next week we're going to be rolling out our first Split the Pot jackpot at Reds5050.com. It's going to be a big seed, so people are going to want to pay attention to that. And our Reds fan cutouts are going to be back with a special opening day opportunity here. So, you know, we got to come back all guns blazing here, Mo, because our sport needs us, and these games are going to go on, and we're going to be doing everything that we can to get back to normal to the best of our ability.
Let's hope when we're talking about what you guys are doing in 2022 that we are 100% back to normal. Reds.com/signup. And again, there are three remaining events. One of them tomorrow at the Kent County Boys and Girls Club in Covington, 3:30 to 5:00. Then the Madisonville Rec Center Monday, same time frame, 3:30 to 5:00. And West Price Hill, Dunham Rec Center, a week from tomorrow from 3:30 to 5:00 as well. Reds.com/signup, Reds Community Fund, and the Reds working to connect you, if you're a parent, and your child to local teams in time for spring and summer baseball and softball leagues. You guys are the best, Charlie. Thank you as always.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's Charlie Frank, the executive director of the Reds Community Fund. The fact that Eric Davis, like 2 weeks ago, talking about the same thing. And, we talked about a lot of different stuff, but we started the conversation by talking about his enthusiasm for this, his work with this, how much he loves youth baseball, how much he's encouraging kids to get involved in baseball. And, the Reds Community Fund just does an awesome job of connecting kids. And, look, there's a lot of kids who didn't get a chance to play last year, and for a sport that needs an infusion of excited kids learning it and playing it, you do wonder for how many of those kids was it, almost out of sight, out of mind in 2020, and hopefully get as many as could possibly be interested back on baseball and softball fields, not just here in Cincinnati, but all throughout Reds country. Again, reds.com/signup, and you can sign up, you can get more information, and find out how the Reds can hook your kid up with a team and a league. There you go. Check that out. All right, we're almost done. We're almost finished. We're almost out of here. Oh, kind of in no man's land, Taryn. I got a minute. Tomorrow on the show, we've got our guy, Rick Broering, MusketeerReport.com. We'll talk about Xavier Providence. Also look ahead to the Horizon League tournament for the NKU North. They will find out their opponent next Tuesday tonight. Always enjoy chatting with Rick. There's a Bearcat basketball game tomorrow. Cincinnati, if you thought it was bad, the reaction after the Bearcats lost to a really good Houston team, just imagine what it would feel like and sound like if Cincinnati goes to Tulsa and takes a loss to the Golden Hurricane. Latest on Tiger Woods, quickly, leg injuries in surgery as we speak following a single car crash. The jaws of life had to be used to take him out. ESPN is reporting that a police source tells them that the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening, but scary. The photos and video, if you haven't seen, it looks as bad as you might think. But the good news is, at least the reports are, the injuries not life-threatening, but multiple leg injuries. Multiple leg injuries, according to his agent. I'm sure there'll be more on this as the evening progresses, but we got to go. Louisville basketball, the Cardinals were just hammered, crushed by North Carolina on Saturday night. They've lost 4 out of 6. Right now, probably on the right side of the bubble, but they could use a win against a very mediocre Notre Dame team. That game is coming up next on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.